is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Alex, and I am back. And I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
No shit, we started. Hey!
I'm back and ready to go, man.
Man, I've just been sitting in front of my computer since last week. You logged me into Zoom. It's crazy.
It's been a while since I've been on the computer. I walked in here and it was like cobwebs and dust all in my cat's room because I was sick last week. I was crazy sick, man. I had the flu. It was not a good time. I don't like being sick, but I tend to get that sick at least once a year. So I got it out of the way. Now I'm good to go.
Yeah. The cat's meow was more like a cat's cough.
Cat's cough in. Good. I'm glad he was alive.
Yeah. He's just a mummy in the corner. You forgot about him.
People that don't know, my office in my house is titled The Cat's Meow because I'm pretentious enough to need a title for an office.
Well, it's all right.
Plus, it's mainly my cat's domain, and I just have a computer in it.
It's his world. You're just living in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to be back, man. I listened to that episode last week, and I texted you while I was listening to it. It's always fun to be like an actual fan. Like, I just listened to it, and I was like, oh, man, this is kind of cool. I'm listening to the Wednesday Pull List, not a part of it at all. It was a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed the episode. Like I told you before we started recording, I didn't listen to the whole thing yet because I'd been wanting to read A Thirst for Vengeance, I think, is what it's called.
A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, yeah.
Yeah, not blood.
I don't know why I got that in my head, but that's what's crazy is, like, I got that in my head that that's what it was called, and then I checked before I published anything.
Yeah.
And I've renamed the file and everything, so I have no idea why I did that.
I wonder if it fixed it. Usually it fixes itself.
Well, I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how I did that in the first place. Should have been changed way before that. So anyway,
Skynet, man.
The Apple listeners get a whole different show.
Yeah, the X-rated version. Well, how have you been, man? I haven't talked to you in forever. I didn't get to talk to you about the news or anything. So what's been going on in your world these past 2 weeks?
Oh, man. Just nothing.
Hell yeah.
Not a whole lot. I've got a bunch of... Yeah, it's kind of weird, like, in the toy collecting world. Well, I'm sure. I mean, it's like this with everything. You pre-order stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I pre-order a bunch of stuff because I don't know if it's going to hit. I don't know if it's going to be the thing that everybody needs. So it's like, well, I kind of want this, so I'm going to pre-order it. And if I really want it by the time it's coming out, then I'll pay for it. Man, Mezco, they don't mess around at the end of the year, dude. Constantine came out. Predator came out.
Nice.
They just released a new Pink Skull thing, but I didn't get that because it's nearly identical to the one I have today. Like, they dropped that shit today. And then, anyway, it's just a bunch of little shit that's all coming at the same time. It's crazy. So, it's like, the end of the year, if you're pre-ordering Mezco, it's like stuff I ordered a year ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I pre-ordered, you know, from comic collecting point of view, I pre-order things, like you said, that I want, and I just never know. There's been times that I've seen a cover that I've wanted, just like, you know, checking solicitations or previews or whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm definitely going to get that. And when I want it, not even thinking about it, it's sold out and I can't get it anywhere. So now, even if it's not going to be a big deal, I just go ahead and pre-order it. Like, in December, they're doing Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a sequel book, right? And one of the variant covers for the first issue is like a homage to the first issue of Ninja Turtles. So it's like the Power Rangers on a rooftop in that black and white. So I'm like, oh, I really want that. I love that cover. So I just went ahead and pre-ordered. It wasn't expensive or anything like that, but it's one of those things where when it comes time to, it comes out, and I'll be like, oh, well, I didn't pre-order that, so now I can't get it. Not everybody wants it. It's fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a bummer. And I don't know. Well, and Constantine, that's crazy because that shit, even back when I pre-ordered it, it sold out. Pre-order sold out in a couple of days. And I'm really not sure why. I mean, I'm not like, I like John Constantine. He's cool. I like the Keanu Reeves movie. Don't at me. Shit, it's a good movie.
A lot of people like it. I need to rewatch it. I just, being younger, like, well, I wasn't a Keanu Reeves fan when I was younger, I guess. But I mean, I don't know. Bill and Ted is kind of my Keanu Reeves threshold. That's it.
Yeah, I was big into it because I was like, Matrix, man. And then he's like, doing magic like the Matrix. Like, give me more. But anyway, this is the traditional blonde, you know, Constantine's
got blonde hair, blue eyes. Now it's all coming together.
Actually, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember talking to Nicole and I was talking to you online because that's when we were trying to make our customs. I was like, does this guy look like me? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, cool. And I pre-ordered it for that.
Yeah, I do remember that. Now we just have to go to our HasLab heads.
I did one of those things and it's weird looking.
Yeah, me too.
I just look like
a baby.
Yeah, an amorphous blob of what I'm supposed to look like. But I did do some organizing. As you can see, there's empty shelves here. They used to have boxes. I moved all the boxes.
Making room for the expansion.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how to... I don't like having this photo table behind me. It's not very stable. It's like a folding table.
Mm.
Takes up a lot of room. So I'm trying to figure out how to mix my computer desk and a photo desk.
Oh, I like it, man. Getting creative.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah, man, not a lot's going on with me. I did try to make some diorama stuff, like these explosions that I've seen people make out of spray foam.
Yeah.
I tried. Mine looks like mashed potatoes.
It kind of happy Thanksgiving.
It kind of worked, I guess. I'll try it on a picture or something. But
oh yeah, it was Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving, man?
Not too bad, honestly.
Same, I stayed here, so it was freaking fantastic.
I also got to skip the normal in-law onslaught, and so
yeah, it was freaking fabulous, man. I stayed here. It was great. We didn't get to talk about it. I know you guys mentioned it on the show last week. But in the time that I was gone, Jason David Frank passed away, man. And I just wanted to talk about it for a second. It was not that it's like, I will say there's been numerous episodes that we've had on this show, and I don't want to be like a hypocrite or phony or anything like that. We've made fun of him a ton of times because he was like super corny and like living in that character for like 50 years after the show is funny in itself.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too. But, you know. But
I did love, I mean, it just, I automatically just had memories of being a kid and like when the Green Ranger first showed up. That's like one of those top nerd moments in my life where I'm like, this dude's a badass. I'm black. Oh, yeah. I don't have like long flowing hair, but he had like a long flowing hair. You know, not bandana. Sometimes he wore a bandana, sometimes he just had that.
But he had like the undercut. Right,
headband. Yeah. It was like not a mullet, but like,
yeah, it was just the 90s undercut where you shave the. My nephew has a haircut right now, and I kind of made fun of him, but
give him a green tank top. And
I remember that what was it, like a 5-episode.
Yeah.
Like, dang, man. Yeah. But you should never, when someone dies, you're not automatically going to start liking a person. They're not a better person because they're dead. No. You know,
I've even seen videos, like people showed videos of him at like conventions and stuff. Just like that dude's, he's not automatically cooler in my book because he passed away. Was it a big part of my childhood? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it sucks the way he did it. You know, he went out, young guy. But I also don't know him. You know, there's some people that have been taking this shit so hard. Same with Kevin Conroy. I loved Batman. Like Kevin Conroy. Didn't know him.
Didn't know
him. So I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, on one hand, it is sad someone in the world passes away, but it happens all the time. I didn't know this guy. When things like this happen, it just makes me think and be reminiscent of, like, childhood memories. So that's really what, instead of like me being like sad and depressed, it just brings up like fond memories of my childhood. Same with Kevin Conroy. Mm-hmm. And it, another, you know, and it also is sort of like a kick in the, I don't know, you know, sort of a nudge. Let's take it as a sign, like, hey man, another guy that did one thing really well and then just did it his entire life. You know, I mentioned that a few episodes ago, like Kevin Conroy, he was Batman, he knocked it out of the park, and then he did it his whole life. Like, find mm-hmm. something you're good at and then hammer it into the crowd.
Yeah, man. As long as they keep paying you, why not?
Yeah, back to back. Another childhood memory in there. That guy was really good. I mean, when you're the Green Ranger, it's all downhill from there. There's like, what else was he going to be? He was the coolest Power Ranger.
The White Ranger, who was still the coolest Power Ranger.
Then he was the Red Ranger. Then he was the Red Ranger. And then he was the Black Ranger. And then he was, like, that dude made it work.
Yeah, man. I loved Zio, too. That was one of my favorite.
That is absolutely one of my favorite ones. Because I was at that age where it's like, Mighty Morphin came on and we were really young. And then Zio, we were like, yeah, now we can actually get in fist fights. And now I'm the leader because I'm actually stronger than you.
Yeah, they
I'm that strong, so I'm automatically.
That was I was actually watching the Japanese version of that series, and it's pretty good too. It's weird, but it's great. Yeah,
it is great.
I got a white paper right there.
There's a book called Power Rangers Soul of the Dragon or something, and it's specifically based on him. It's like a story of him as an old man. He has a son, and then he, you know, it shows the different, you know, him using the multiple ranger powers. I was going to read that with you this week, but I've read it before and it wasn't really good. And it's one of those things. It's like, I didn't want to slam dunk on this. It's like, right, story.
They did that with Dino Thunder or something, where he had all the different power. I've just seen that clip floating around lately.
Yeah, I didn't want to take up too much time talking about it, but it was like, that's something that we would have talked about last week, both that hit us both, because we were big Power Ranger fans back in the day. And I'm a big, you know, Super Sentai fan still.
Yeah. Why don't you click on the back computer behind you and do some stuff. That's the tea. Get you some tea.
Yeah, if you're watching, I'll put a clip of this somewhere. There was a guy online that made this free background for Zoom meetings, and I was like, oh, I gotta use this. I always blur my background anyway, so
that's great.
But it's like the Bruce Timm Batcave, the coolest version.
Yeah, that's great.
My favorite Batmobile.
The only Batmobile.
Let's talk about some Marvel news. I don't really know. I don't remember what you guys covered last week. I listened to it, but I was also driving and staring at birds and stuff. So, you know, I get easily distracted. Trending topics. Marvel Studios is reportedly eyeing a Ryan Gosling type actor to play an evil Superman main villain in the Thunderbolts movie.
Wow. So who could it be? You know?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I really don't like the evil Superman thing. I think it's done too much now, you know, with Injustice and then like Homelander and Omni-Man, of course. But it could be Hyperion from the Squadron Supreme, or it could be Sentry. Either one of those characters, though, is like, we've seen the Thunderbolts roster. Both of those characters are basically Superman.
You know, I would love to see that team just get ripped apart. Why not?
Yeah. I posted a clip. As soon as someone like announced it, that it might be a thing that they were trying to do, I posted a clip of that episode of Invincible where Omni-Man has made the switch and those soldiers are in his house and they're invisible. And he's just like pushes one over the over the counter and his body just goes across it. And I was like, this is what's going to the Thunderbolts movie is 5 minutes and this is what's going to happen. Just going to completely rip them apart, which I guess I would appreciate. But I don't know. Ryan Gosling, sure, maybe he'll do it.
Well, now it's a rising Ryan Gosling type. That's why I think it's so funny when they do their casting. They're like, we like this. Who can we find like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Who else was like
cheaper, cheaper than Ryan Gosling?
I remember hearing that story of another actor that they were like, we're looking for is somebody
Zac Efron type.
Yeah, and it was like,
it's like a Zac Efron type that I can't remember what it was, maybe Wolverine or something.
Well, no, I remember hearing it from the actor that was like, I heard that they're looking for a me type, and I'm like, dude, just offer me the damn.
Yeah, I think it was Zac Efron.
Zefron.
Chris Hemsworth said that he needs Thor to be drastically different. He needs to reinvent the tone if he's going to return to the MCU, and he needs to do it for his own sanity. I think Taika Waititi just went a little too balls to the wall with Thor Love and Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Exactly what you said in last week's episode, it didn't have a tone, man. That's how I feel about that movie. My nephew asked me recently what I thought about it, and yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't. And it's supposed to be sad. It's supposed to be happy. You get Jane Foster for 15 minutes. Yeah, he also said that he wanted this to be the death of Thor in the next Thor movie. So it's like, why wouldn't you save the Jane Foster story for Thor 5 and be a character?
With the ending of that, I mean, that kind of leaves it open. Going to be that chick, maybe. The daughter. I don't know. I kind of wish that movie didn't happen to me. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't feel like it how it progresses anything in the main universe. And again, it did not have a mood. It was like happy, sad, stupid, sad, happy, sad, yeah. Really sad.
Hercules. Who knows when we'll see Hercules again?
Yeah.
Why even add him in that? Hopefully it's in Thunderbolts. I hope every single character in the history of Marvel Comics.
That's what they do. They just introduce cameo. It's just a cameo movie.
That's all it is. It's just like walking down the street. I need to see more. I think I don't care about cameos, really. My thing is, I need to see more cameos. I need to see like more background characters. Like, how come characters just don't exist in the world in other movies? I mean, like, because it's
expensive.
I know. But how expensive is it going to be for like Doctor Strange at the end of the movie to be walking with Clea and Spider-Man swings by?
Yes, I do agree that it would be cool if there was like this concurrent living. Like, there could have been reports of Hawkeye in Spider-Man, yeah. Because it's happening around Christmas.
Yeah, you know, you fall into this thing is like in every movie, there's this like cataclysmic event, this world ending event. And then, like, all the other heroes are just like, now I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah, we're good.
You know, maybe I want too much.
I agree, but I also think with masked heroes like Spider-Man, I don't know, it's probably harder because, anyway, the point is, I was like, I wonder if they just had, like, a CGI background character, a lot of people would be fine with that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't even need him to say anything. I just need, like, an in-the-distance Spider-Man swings by.
Or, like, Web. Somebody references something.
Anything. Someone wearing a Spider-Man shirt. Like, anything. That shows that these characters exist in the same universe other than team-up movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't need the big cameo. I don't need, like, the Incredible Hulk to come in and say some lines. I don't need that at all. Maybe he's just at a diner. Maybe he's just sitting there. He doesn't even say anything. They don't acknowledge him. He just lives here. He lives in New York.
You remember when everybody thought that Thor was in Iron Man 2 because they lingered on a character for too long?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Maybe that's
what happens.
It's distracting,
like,
yeah.
Or when in the same movie when they talked about the Avengers Initiative, they have like the ping in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean because that's where Namor is supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. They had a problem underneath. I feel like that was a little too heavy-handed, though.
And Wakanda, too, was also pinged in it.
That was a little too heavy-handed for it to not have any sort of... Maybe they scrapped it, but I feel like that was a subtle nod at what was going on.
Oh, in Infinity War.
Infinity War, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about at the end of Iron Man 2 when... Rage is talking to...
Yeah.
Forgot his name. Nick Fury is talking about the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of Rick Rage, Marvel Studios has hired Jan Demange. Now, I don't know if you say it that way, but it sounds cool in my head. To direct the Blade movie. This person is credited as... I don't know if he directed it or not. Yeah, so Marvel Studios has hired Jan Demange Hopefully I said that. Hopefully it sounds that cool in real life. He directed Lovecraft Country. I don't know. I think you saw Lovecraft Country.
I love Lovecraft Country.
Oh, man, and me too.
So disappointing that they aren't continuing that.
HBO is such a bitch. To direct Blade. Now, I love Lovecraft Country. It's one of the first projects that I saw that made me a huge fan of Kang, his real name is. I just Jonathan, see him as Kang. I just
Jonathan see him as Kang Majors.
Now. Yeah, huge fan of him.
Yeah, man, same. I will watch him in, like, anything now, except for, like, anyway. Like,
oh, man.
But, like, yeah, he's great. And Lovecraft Country is great. And the best thing about that show is that H.P. Lovecraft was, like, fucking,
weird.
Like, racist. He yeah. was, like, super racist. So it was cool to see a cast of all people of color, mostly.
I think that was kind of like a...
Yeah, exactly. Like that. And that's what's so cool is, like, they're doing all... I don't know. But it was just... It was a great show, and it's really, really disappointing that they're not going to continue that, so...
Yeah, HBO, man, they're really, really annoying with the shows they cancel and stuff. I know it costs money, but damn, they'll really rope you in and then be like, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, especially that one, man. That one felt like... I mean, I guess it kind of just ended. I mean, he's dead, but...
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I never finished it.
Oh, well, he's dead.
Just kidding, I did all that show. Speaking of dead, Disney is reportedly legally prohibited from making a Namor standalone movie due to Universal's ownership of the character's on-screen rights. Man, I didn't have high hopes for a Namor solo movie. Whatever.
Yeah.
But that just sucks that they still have characters that are locked up with, like, other, you know, Universal owning them and things like that. And just fucking, they have enough money, man. Just do a clean sweep. Buy all the characters.
Yes, and I agree. But I also like, you know, Disney doesn't need to own everything because then they'll own everything.
They need to own everything, man.
Because... Give it to the mouse.
No, like I said, I never had hopes or, you know, for a Namor standalone movie. I think it'd be, as long as he can be in other things, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, more so than Hulk. Like, Hulk is locked down by Universal's ownership as well. That kind of sucks because Hulk is a character that should have multiple movies. Like, he should have, like, a Thor trilogy. Like, he should have, you know, he has his own storylines. Namor should be someone that just cameos in projects.
They would be all subtitles like Hulk, colon, smash.
Hulk, no more smash. That's the end. That's the last one. I don't know. That sucks. There was Disney news. One Bob's leaving. Another Bob's coming back. Some people are really excited about it. I don't pay attention to the politics of Disney that much. So
Bob Iger, I think, was CEO during their most profitable. Bob Iger with the most. Anyway, I believe that he was helming it when they really pulled their way out of obscurity again.
Yeah, and then he bounced with an ass load of money.
Yeah, he cut his head off and froze it.
Yeah, he's like, all right, guys, I did my job. I'm going to go into the vault with Walt.
Yeah, let's see. Went into the vault with all the movies.
It's just like, okay, sidebar. I imagine the Disney vault where Walt Disney's cryogenically frozen head is, I imagine it's like Richie Rich, the movie, you know, his family vault, where it's just a bunch of old toys and like crappy Disney memorabilia and just a bunch of those, you know, those thick plastic Disney VHS cases where you open.
Oh, yeah. Clack. Yeah,
yeah, it's just best. A bunch of those everywhere, and then in the middle, it's just Walt Disney.
You know, it's what's crazy is like it's like Tutankhamun's tomb, like it's just surrounded
yeah.
by.
Yeah,
he's got little Mickey Mouse cookie jars filled with his organs. Kids these days, this is going to sound very old. Even probably Gen Z, maybe. They don't understand the pain, quote unquote, of the Disney vault. Like,
what are we? What are we not? What are we?
We're millennials. But you remember VHS, man, they would have a release, and then that shit wouldn't be on the shelves anymore until they decided to release. Yeah, until they released it again. I mean, once it was sold, I don't remember hunting down VHSs, but I do remember it was a big deal when it's coming out of the Disney vault. Hercules, you know, whatever.
Well, I remember that. I was like in my teens and wanting to, like, I don't know, hey, but we haven't seen X, Y, and Z, Robin Hood, maybe, mm-hmm. in years. Let's go rent it. And they're like, oh, that's not available for rent. I'm like, why? We don't have any copies of that. It's in the Disney vault.
Yeah, like, well, that's, we have to phone weird. Walt.
Yeah, maybe we should put all our old episodes in the Wednesday Fullness vault. Yeah. And then 10 years from now, we release.
They'll appreciate.
Yeah.
Like NFTs.
Perfect. Well, let's tie them to NFTs and then put them in the vault.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, can you tie it to something digital? What kind of string you use for that?
I think we can. Digital string.
It's a chain. It's a blockchain. Anyway.
It's like two middle-aged guys explain the future technology.
Anyway, I do think that's kind of funny. Like, you can just watch whatever the hell you want whenever you want.
Yeah, now.
With Disney stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is another sidebar. I get so frustrated when I'm like, hey, every year I watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't have it on DVD. I don't have it on VHS. If I had it on VHS, I don't have a VCR, you know. So I'm like, I type in, like, where is it streaming? And it's like, you pay $2.99 on it. You pay all these places. I'm like, it's not streaming. Obscure movie from the 80s available for me when I need it.
Yeah, you bastard.
But then it was free on Pluto with ads, so I downloaded whatever that is and I watched it.
Yeah, I've got Pluto, Tubi, to not be, you know.
I got all the free ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming, man, it's the future. Lock me into the metaverse. Just play my old tunes.
That was a streaming Hamlet joke.
Oh, I got it. That's all we got, guys. We're sorry for the drain for trying to help. We're going to take a second to catch our breath, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody. It's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Welcome back, guys, and thank you for letting us catch our breath. This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade, and I'm happy to be able to say we call it a trade review. Did you do that? Did you do the joke last week?
I didn't, actually. I fucked it up. I ruined the story.
I quit. Bye, guys. That's it. We're circling the drain. See you guys next year.
Yeah. Well, actually, you do. I was about to say, you have no idea how hard it is to lead this thing.
I love it. You're better than you think you are, man.
Nah, man, what I'm saying is, like, I get to have fun and kind of relax when you're the host. I just read the book and give my opinion. And when I have to set it up and I have to keep the train rolling, I, like, feel like a teacher. Like, you can't be funny. No laughs.
Yeah, because in our normal dynamic, if this happens to be your first episode, I'm the straight man is how I see it. I'm the straight man. Simon's the funny one.
And I'm gay.
I'm the straight man. Simon's the funny one. And so it's basically me reading the notes, keeping us on track, and then me trying not to laugh at Simon's jokes. In the off chance that I do go on sidebars, Simon usually indulges me, and then we go on like these long tangents. But usually that's how it plays. And so Simon's saying, he doesn't like playing the straight man.
Yeah, no. I like to sit here and talk and just talk. I enjoy talking. Doesn't matter. Talking to my friend.
Yeah.
I don't like talking to other people, really.
Yeah.
I talked to Carlos. So that's why I invited him on the show. Talk to
that
him.
That was a good one. Well, we're back. I got to read. You know, last week when I was sick, I caught up on a bunch of my current issues, which was great. So when Simon asked me what we were reading this week, I honestly had no idea because I just been reading a lot of stuff. So I was like, I don't even know what trades are out right now. So I scrolled for a little bit, saw current releases, upcoming releases, and I saw that they were doing the trade for Venom Lethal Protector. Now, this is one of those books that is sort of like a flashback book, kind of like we read Venom Ben Reilly recently. Uh-huh. It was a Spider-Man story set back in the 90s. This Venom book is set back in the 90s. During the original Lethal Protector run, Venom and Eddie Brock are newly bonded. They've been together for a few years. They still hate Spider-Man. This is before him and Spider-Man made up and then became friends. So it's in that early Lethal Protector phase. I don't know if you caught all of that. It's not in main continuity. It's just sort of like a side story back then.
Yeah, I kind of figured because he's still like stupid Eddie Brock.
Yeah. My favorite though, man. Now, we had a recent run with Donny Cates and over the past few years, they've really dove deep into like Venom and his like space life, like where he comes from and all these things. At one point, you know, Flash Thompson was bonded with Venom. He was Agent Venom, and then he went to space. He was part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was Venom, the Space Knight, which I'm going to buy that book.
Yeah,
it's a Space Knight. I'm going to buy that book. And it looks great. They dove way deep into like the actual symbiote lore, which is cool. We dive into Null and all of that stuff, which was great. Great cosmic Venom stuff. But I like this. I like dumb Eddie Brock. Like, I do like Eddie Brock as a hit hero. But, like, the current Venom book is just so out there.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. It's, like, multiple Venoms. Eddie Brock is in space, but he controls every symbiote. So there's Venom. There's also a Venom on Earth, which is his son.
And I saw that, yeah.
It's too wild, man. And plus, Brian Hitch is the artist, and I just am not a fan of his art style, so I can't read it at all. But I like this, man. I like On the Street, Lethal Protector, dumb Eddie Brock, Venom.
I do like before he was the god of all symbiotes, you know. But
I mean, there's something about, like, I remember being a kid and Venom coming out and being this villain to Spider-Man.
Right.
So badass. Well, first of all, Black Spider-Man, great. Best. I mean, it's a fan favorite. It's like the Green Ranger. Yeah. So cool. And then you get Venom out of that, which is like, as a little kid, I'm like, this is the coolest Spider-Man villain ever. And then you get like the anti-hero Venom. He's like, man, he's cool, but he'd be cooler if he was a good guy. And he always threaded that line of being like, yeah, I'm a good guy, but I still eat brains or I still kill people. And so it was just cool. The Lethal Protector era was so cool because they ended up teaming up against Carnage. And it was just like a great era of comic books for me. I loved Spider-Man back then. I still do, but
I really loved Lethal Protector in the same way that a lot of people love Punisher. It's like he'd have these corny ass villains because they would just kill him.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of what this book is, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was saying that, I thought of that. Like, an anti-hero in the same vein was people like, I'm not a huge fan of Punisher. I think he's kind of lame. And the only reason I think Punisher is lame, forgive my sidebar, is that he's this hardcore murdering hero, but he wears these knee-high white boots.
Yeah, the 80s. Yeah, I mean, the 90s Punisher is the best. He wears...
I just think he has these... To his elbow, white gloves.
Yeah.
And to knee-high white boots. And I'm just like, that's not intimidating. I don't care if you have a skull on your chest. If I see you walking down with go-go boots, I'm pretty sure they had like a 3-inch heel. Maybe that's what it was. It was like to catch the bad guys off guard. Like, what?
Yeah, he would always be bending over from like in the alleyway.
He always set up like a fog machine first, and then walked down the alleyway. The disco light and fog machine. And then he would shoot them in the head. Yeah. Early 80s, we forget. It was before Warzone. He's a different kind of hero. Let's get into this, man. Venom, Lethal Protector, issue number 1, written by David Michelinie. Art by Ivan Fiorelli.
Fiorelli.
The cover is by Paolo. I can't. Why?
Paolo Siguera.
Yeah. An epic return. Before Carnage. Before Space Guys. Before Clones and Toxins and the revelation that he was a father. See? Too much. Mm-hmm. Eddie Brock was a down-on-his-luck reporter who had tried to take his own life and had been saved by an extraterrestrial alien. This all-new story, set in the character's earliest days, welcomes Venom's co-creator, David Michelinie. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
I didn't know
back
that
into the, back into the symbiote hive with open arms, as he and rising star Ivan Fiorelli. We don't mean to be offensive. I just feel like I cannot say it correctly.
Fiorelli.
Do the accent. Unite to tell a new horrifying, it's not that horrifying, it's kind of a tale that not only revisits the wicked web-slinger's past, but hints at what's to come in his future. Now, they sold, that's kind of a hard sell. It was not horrifying.
Yeah, man.
Fun. This book was fun.
Yes, it
horrifying.
Well,
nah.
Yeah, not horrifying. No.
There were a few weeks ago, so every week on Twitter, RIP, not yet, we didn't talk about that either. Maybe we'll talk about that on the after show. But every week on Twitter, I do this thing called Old Comic Book Day. Every Wednesday is New Comic Book Day. Everybody posts their new issues that they get. But I've always been more of a back issue hunter. So I made Friday's Old Comic Book Day. So I would go out. It's typically the day that I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. So I go out to the comic book shops or like Half Price Books, and I just go through back issues and see what I can find. A few months ago, this had to be a month ago, but it still registers in my head. I posted this picture of Spider-Man fighting these like wild villains. It was like a guy that looked like Spider-Man, but he had like green on him. It had a guy with like a Captain America shield. It was like the knockoff Avengers. And I said, I've never even heard of these characters, and I've been reading Spider-Man since the 90s. And so to pick this book up, read it with you, and then the first characters that Venom is fighting is these are the three characters that were on this cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a Mark Bagley cover. It looked great, but it was these three random-ass villains. And I was like, man, that's a great callback to like bring these spider blood or whatever dudes.
Yeah, spider blood. Yeah, ridiculous.
Issue number 1, man. What did you think?
Well, I just I really love this Lethal Protector thing, and I love that this Venom, he does have kind of a tongue thing, but I've always liked, especially with the covers. The covers are phenomenal.
Oh my god, they're so good.
But they have that old fashioned where he's just a mouth, you know. I really, really like that version of Venom.
Yeah, you and I both, we talk about that a lot, our version of Venom. You know, we get that Eric Larson era where you have that crazy long tongue with the green slime. That's too much for me. I do like the alien look where, like, the jaw comes all the way up to his top of his, you know, head. Mm-hmm. I feel like this Venom, this is the kind of Venom I like.
Yeah. I like him. He's... he looks a lot like the kind of like the movie, a little bit of Bagley in there.
Yeah,
but I'm really digging that. And then he's just like, dude, I just want to be left alone. It's kind of cool, but it is funny, dude. He just like the way he just like hits that regular ass like archer with a car. I didn't realize what had happened. I had to look at it a couple times.
He kills
that
dude. Yeah.
Yeah, just straight dead, man. Squishes his ass.
And that's what I've always liked about Lethal Protector Venom, is that, like, he hates Spider-Man, doesn't lose that, and that he doesn't lose that in this. He wants to kill Spider-Man, but he also wants to help people. So he's like influenced by Spider-Man, but not as good as Spider-Man. So it's like he's fighting these three nobodies, and then they're trying to kill him and hurt him. So he just hits this dude with a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also like wants to eat brains, and he's like, I could eat this guy, but he's dead. Then he like leaves him there.
I think it's kind of funny. This, I don't know. I can't actually even remember the character's name, but this, a lot of this would make a better Venom movie than the Venom movie made. It's very, there are a lot of parallels.
Yeah, there is a lot of parallels, but this would have been a better Venom movie. I agree.
But I guess they had to set it up like, yeah, I'm a good reporter, whatever that accent he used was. But this is more interesting. This kind of follows along with almost like the animated series, what I remember, you know.
Yeah. Well, and they don't even, it would, the reason why I agree with you and think this would be a better movie is because they don't really ever even, they don't show Spider-Man very briefly later on, but they, and, you know, I know there's like weird rules with the movies and everything, but they could have told this exact same story where he says, like, let me just see if I can find it real quick. He says, Eddie Brock's talking to Venom. I love that he has a dialogue where he doesn't say we yet. You know, usually it's like we are Venom, but now he's like, I'm still Eddie Brock. It's like at the very early stages. He's still like, but I know it's we.
I do like that he said, you're probably wondering why I didn't say we. I had a whole life before I met you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, they don't talk about, they say we're a monster, but they don't ask like about us. My life was great. And then Spider-Man ruined it. He really did. He ruined my life. Did I make some mistakes? Sure. But Spider-Man ruined my life. They took you from your planet. Mm-hmm. You know, you were bonded with your chosen host. They didn't have to say Spider-Man. If it was like a movie, they could say you were bonded with your chosen host. He rejected you. They don't ever have to say Spider-Man or Peter Parker. And it would have worked as the movie. I did think the dialogue, Eddie Brock's dialogue, was a little too smart.
Sometimes
he would speak like a professor.
Well, you know what's funny is I think that's the symbiote.
I think so too. After getting at the end of it, I thought so too. But you know, my first thoughts, I was like, this isn't dumb, Eddie Brock.
Because he would be talking, he'd be talking real dumb.
Yeah,
he would sound really juvenile and pretty stupid. And then he would come back with this really complex
like superhero diction. Jargon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Silly. The art is great. I mean, watching Venom interact with like the world is great, in my opinion. In this first issue, like this guy's trying to rob this lady on this bench. It's broad daylight. I guess I'm never going to live in New York. He drops down, just like crushes this dude with his web. Looks like he breaks this dude's back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries to give this lady her bag and she runs away. And immediately when that happens, I think this is great. Venom looks great. Him swinging away looks great, right? But I also think, why doesn't he just slim down? Why doesn't he just make himself look like Black Suit Spidey?
I don't know, can he? Because that's what I always liked about Eddie Brock before he was like Monster Venom, is he was just a big guy. Like he was a big dude. I cannot stand Monster Venom, like where he grows an extra foot or whatever. Like I like
where he has like multiple heads and stuff.
Well, no, I just mean when he's big, you know, they make him a big guy.
Yeah. At any rate. I mean, he's already big. Yeah. Cause Eddie Brock is already a big dude. He could already bench like 400 pounds before Venom.
Yeah. He even mentions that he's like an Olympian later. But yeah, you know, I don't know. If he can, that would make sense. Or no mouth would probably do it.
Yeah. later on he changes his clothes into like a security guard clothes. So I'm like, why doesn't he just like slim it down to his body and be like a buff Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think definitely lose the teeth and a lot of less people would freak out. Yeah.
Also, like boundaries, man, in this issue. I know it's the 90s, but you can't just like walk in people's houses, dude.
Yeah, he's like, how could he ever have been in dating or engaged with this woman? Married? Were they married?
They were married, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why he feels like he can, but it really, yeah, he's just hapless.
He just seems kind of like dumb. Like, that's dumb. He just walks in and he's just like, hey.
Yeah, aloof.
I told you to lock the doors.
Yeah.
What?
This is what happens. It's a lesson.
Yeah, a monster could walk in. And then her freaking fiance. What you would imagine, like, if your wife left you and got engaged to someone else, that's that guy. Textbook, like, alternate fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome, rich, bearded guy. Continuing to love the look of Venom. Transformation, like, all of it looks great in this book, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's funny. He does kind of have, like, a thicker jaw and a pointier head, though.
Yeah.
Kind of noticed his head. It's more of a triangle head, but overall I'm digging it. It really does. It looks like that toy I've got. It looks like the new Null Venom pack or whatever with the movie head on it.
This book seemed longer. I thought it was like longer than a normal issue, honestly. You know, because we get the introduction of like the Life Foundation, which I didn't realize that was such a big deal in Venom's life.
Yeah.
We get him benching, like you said. But one great moment that I can talk about in this issue is that it's more of like he's a not a conventional hero, right? So this homeless guy is like, hey, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Can you spare some change? He's like, hey, that's your problem. And then he walks a little bit further down. He's like, man, I was a little rude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he steals all this jewelry from this place. And gives it to this guy, and he's like, here you go, man. You're welcome. Walks off like he just saved the day, and then that guy gets arrested for having all the jewels. And it's just like, it's perfect Eddie Brock being a hero.
And with that, I did wonder, I was like, oh, well, maybe he's just putting him in jail so he has food.
Maybe it worked out that way. That's great. That's great. What do you think about Humbug?
Well, that's what's funny. So I love how stupid of a character it is.
Yeah.
But I like how powerful he is. Like, Venom underestimates him by a lot and gets a shit rock. Like, he really thinks that Venom is dead. He thinks the symbiont's gone. So
I love characters that look like this. You and I are a lot alike as far as, like, you know, some people like to have the edgy, badass characters. But I think you and I like the goofier characters that happen to be powerful. Like you said, Venom is a badass, edgy character, which everybody loves. But then you have this guy with like this, it's the Fin. I think it's the Fin. And
well, the Fin, but he also, I love he's got
blank
the
man outfit. Yeah, this like blank man outfit. And he completely destroys Venom.
Classic blank man.
Yeah. Completely destroys Venom. Humbug tries to, the same guys that Venom beats down at the beginning of the issue, Humbug tries to join them and they make fun of him and they leave him until they see him obliterate Venom off of Eddie Brock. And like you said, he mentions that he was like, okay, he tries to shoot him with the web shooters. They get Sonic waved off. And he's like, I'm still, like, you're a nerd. I'm Eddie Brock. I can still beat you up. And so he does a little bit of like Venom theatrics. Jumps down, but then he gets zapped. We get to see a little bit of that codependency. Venom is, or Eddie Brock is like, I've kind of grown attached to having this person that, like, it's like a shield. I've been grown attached to it, you know, and I think that was a cool moment.
Yeah, he says he cut his feet running because he's just wearing, like, boxer shorts. He's not wearing real clothes anymore.
I always thought that was great, too, because I think that would be the same way.
Yeah, if you didn't have to.
Yeah, it's like that episode. It's like in the animated series where Peter Parker has the suit and he's like, he goes into his stupid, the suit transforms into a stupid polo. But he's like, oh, I can wear whatever I want. And then he puts on a suit. That's practical. And then he gets in like Flash Thompson's face. Do you remember that scene? He puts on the suit and then he like.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
He yells at Flash Thompson and Felicia's like, I don't know what got into you, but you've changed.
Then you,
I love that show, man.
You get the music in the background. They're like, oh, I can't even remember the hype music right before the commercial.
The score, yeah, the score for those old animated series, they put too much into it. Like, they, I don't know what guy was working at Marvel then. He was like, these children aren't going to listen to it unless you have like Hans Gruber come in with his orchestra.
Hans Gruber.
And have him segue them into the commercial, the Dairy Queen commercial.
Yeah. The Happy Meal.
Anyway. Yeah, what didn't you like about this issue? First issue, I also like to know what you think about it when you say, hey, Lex, what are we reading? And then I drop a book on you. What'd you think?
Well, I was excited, but it was also kind of hard to find because Lethal Protector is kind of a...
And also the actual trade isn't out yet. Hoop was really good about doing new trades. At the time of recording this, it comes out. So,
yeah. Let's see. I like the artwork, but I was disheartened, as always, when I see this incredible, like...
Cover.
cover, which to me harkens more towards the era.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we get this very modern, which the artwork inside is great too. I mean,
well, yeah, not so much. Like, yeah, I agree with you. But like back in the day, we would have like an Alex Ross cover and then Steve Nobody like penciling and coloring outside the lines, and it would be like a really bad inside. This is just a little bit different. Like,
yeah,
This person could have did the covers.
Right. I kind of would rather have seen that.
I don't understand that.
Even though these covers are really amazing, I would rather get that.
These covers are good.
Equidistant thing. But did I make that word up? I don't know. Tell me later. Anyway.
You made that word up, Groibles.
Groibles, yeah. Groibles! There wasn't a lot I didn't like. Other than I'm so used to like, Eddie Brock has been through much shit, so much shit. He's had cancer. He's not had cancer. Uh-huh. He's like all this stuff. And just to be back to like stupid Eddie Brock again, it's kind of crazy. But I do. It is nice. It's low stakes.
Low stakes. Yeah. It's a little refreshing to have like, again, we couldn't read like the first trade for the current Venom came out this past week or week before last. There's no way we could read that because you have to read like the past Venom run, and you have to read Absolute Carnage, and you have to read like all these. Yeah, there's so many things that you have to read to even read that volume. I love reading Marvel books that have no, like, you have to have general knowledge of the 90s to read this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of our sweet spot. So
yeah, that's that. Well, that's when I was reading comic books.
Yeah. And I know we both like Venom, so when I saw it, I was like, it's an easy sell.
Yeah. Well, and this is before. I mean, this is when Venom is cool, but it was before. It was like, oh yeah, Venom. Venom, you like Venom? Yeah, you like Venom? I like Venom.
Yeah. This is before the movies.
Yeah, Venom.
That's how the intro to this episode should be. All right, man, take it away. Issue number 2.
No, oof, I don't know. It's a mouthful. Venom Lethal Protector number 2, Venom versus Hydro Man for the first time. Enough said.
Enough said. I will always love Enough Said. It's so stupid. Speaking of covers, this cover is great, man.
Yeah, it was really nice.
This might be my favorite cover of all of them.
See, and this is close. The cover itself is, I know we said it's reminiscent to a lot of what we see now, but what's really, this has that kind of psycho Venom look that he had during the Lethal Protector run, kind of mid to later in the Lethal Protector run when the artwork was getting real weird.
Yeah. Where he was like all teeth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he had like the riblets, the 90s thing, you know?
Yeah.
I remember reading one of those comics and being like, I think this comic just made me schizophrenic.
Oh, I remember being a kid and reading like, it wasn't separation anxiety. It was whatever the madness one is, where he had all the multiple heads on there and he was like addicted to eating brains. I remember reading that as a kid and the art was like so out there. It was like, I I don't know if I like Venom. I don't know. This isn't. I don't know if I like this. Yeah. I like Mark Bagley. Mark Bagley really is the Spider-Man and Venom artist to me.
Yeah, I really, really like the Mark Bagley Venom. He's the one.
He looked like an alien. He made his head like everything was really round on him.
Yeah, round, and he kind of had the vampire-ish teeth. I remember, like, longer teeth without being like snarly, gross, like not teeth coming out of everywhere.
When Eric Larson, I love Eric Larson. I'm not crapping on him. I'm a huge Savage Dragon fan. But when Eric Larson, and I really like the way he illustrates Spider-Man. But Eric Larson was the one that created the weird green slime that comes out of his mouth. And he has that, I love that cover, where he has Spider-Man's skull with the, you know, Spider-Man mask on there. And he killed him well and all that stuff. But he has like the crazy jaw and just like millions of teeth.
Yeah. He's like the violator.
Yeah, he started that one. Not a huge fan of his Venom. Love his Spider-Man. I love Eric Larson. What'd you think about issue number two, man?
I mean, we're getting more of the same. I really like... So, as I said in the intro, we've got a Hydro Man that shows up. And I love... So, okay, this
this kind of stupid.
Yeah, this issue starts out with Venom's like... Eddie Brock's freaking out because he thinks the Venom symbiote is just dead.
Yeah.
And he like breaks into this basement and he's trying... I love it. He's like, oh no, there's something wrong with you. And it's so cold in here. Maybe I should open up this boiler.
Oh and yeah, then... your weakness is fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, the sparks. Yeah. It was just that part I loved. And I was like, at the same time, like, oh, how stupid. But there's a lot of randomness in this. Like we said, low stakes. There's a lot of randomness with enemies. We don't know we know him, Hydro Man, but we don't know these other guys that he fought or why he's...
Hydro Man's good, too. I forget how much I love Hydro Man. It's like, what a great premise for a villain. Like, that's actually a scary villain.
Oh, yeah, extremely.
You know, stupid name. It sucks that he just wears a t-shirt.
Like, you know, he's got he splits it down the middle.
Yeah. He's got the Peter Brady.
What's funny is Hydro Man's out to get Venom, and he's... And I love the observation. Venom's walking down the street. Eddie Brock, Venom, symbiote's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Walking down the street. He's like, oh, the street's wet. I guess it rained earlier. Like,
so you're reading him like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. How's your mother?
Yeah, he's like, puddles everywhere. Must have rained last night. Like, who thinks that? I mean, I guess that's a normal thought.
That's weird. I don't know. It's kind of a weird observation. I mean, old people do it. There's plenty of people.
So if I walk outside and it's really wet, I'm like, oh, must have rained last night.
Yeah. Must have rained. It's like you can't stop it. I do the same thing. Yeah. You can't not stop it.
Say it. Yeah.
It's like your head will explode. Anyway, it's supposed to get cold tomorrow.
We live in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
okay. So you're talking about like the randomness, like villains and things like that. I will say, yes, but I think this book, and not even for comparison's sake, but just because we read a recent, like a similar style story, I think this book does a better job than that Ben Reilly book did that we read.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they introduced Spider-Side, and the Spider-Side was like a villain that died, and then was like a villain that came back at the end. Like, it was like a bunch of random, deep lore Spider-Man stuff. But this is just like... random villains that we know about, and if we don't know about it, it doesn't really matter because they get murdered.
They're in and out. But I love, you know, he's fighting Hydro Man. He doesn't quite get the strategy, and it's kind of sad because the symbiote's along for the ride, man. It's for Eddie Brock being stupid, but I do think that the symbiote's kind of the one, like their the collective logic. Mindset. Yeah, yeah, comes up with the idea of. So they basically defeat Hydro Man by throwing soap at him, which is, and then they pop the bubbles when he becomes bubbles. So it's just like, what? With a nail gun.
That was stupid, but also like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, this
are you trying to pop a bunch of bubbles with a nail gun? just seems like overkill. That seems stupid.
I feel like you could just pop the bubbles with like your...
Or step on them with your giant venom foot.
Yeah, with your finger or something. I don't know. It's a pretty ridiculous premise, but it's kind of funny because it seems like it's going to be a big deal and then it's not really.
And it's funny because I love how Hydra Man is just like, hey man, leave me alone. He's like,
yeah.
This is embarrassing. And then just floats away. I thought that was freaking great.
He dips out into the sewer and says, this is embarrassing. We also get the scene that you were talking about where the two random Spider Blood and whatever his name is are like, hey, you be our leader.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these guys are, there was three mercenaries trained in the original story, three mercenaries trained by Taskmaster to take out Spider-Man. They never really talk about why this guy, Spider-Blood, is dressed like Spider-Man mixed with the black suit Spider-Man. They never talk about that. And in this, they never even acknowledge it.
Yeah. He's kind of interesting, like his
Venom doesn't have Venom doesn't have like an extra hatred to him because he looks like the web slinger. He just, whatever. That's cool. It's no trademark on costumes, I guess.
Yeah.
What else did you like about this one? I mean, Venom looks great in this. I continue to like this look. Venom goes back to his old job. It's stupid, man. I like how he's like, he scares the guy that he used to work with, and he's like, I should have ate his brains. I don't know if that's like a callback to something later on, like that guy is a villain later on or something.
Well, yeah, he calls him a traitor or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It seems like that because he's like, you're going to regret that later that you didn't eat that guy's brains.
What I think is really funny is like there's this basically front page headline of a wedding between his wife. Is she that important?
Not that I know of, but I guess.
I mean, I guess they could be clicked in on a whatever, but that seems like a huge heading for that.
Yeah. Yeah, for like an engagement, front page engagement news.
I do like how increasing effed up these deaths are for these mercenaries. Like, he smashes one guy with the car, and this other guy,
he hits the guy with the way Batman killed KG Beast in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, man. Just on fire. Bakes his ass.
Golly.
It's rough.
Yeah, it is rough. It's great. And also, like, he defeats Humbug, but also doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was cool. Also, like, Venom's just not an efficient hero. He's not.
Well, and with Humbug, he's like, I understand what it's like to feel like your life has been ruined, you know? So,
yeah, I get by the man.
Yeah, we're cool.
And then it ends with some lady. We get introduced to her. To her in the first issue. She works for the Life Foundation. She says to her boss that she can control Venom or whatever. And she offers him the ability to get rid of the weakness that they have to like sonic vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
sounds sounds like a trap to me.
I think it's John Ralphio's sister. I think that's the movie.
It is John Ralphio's sister. She's the worst.
Yeah, she's the worst.
I like how anytime he's like in this, the last few panels, he's like, I don't like being spied on. And then the symbiote is his hood, but then it starts reacting because he's reacting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. Why would Peter Parker ever get rid of the symbiote? He's a fucking bitch.
He doesn't have the darkness in his soul.
Well, the thing is, like, the symbiote made him aggressive, but with Eddie Brock, it seems like it reins him in.
Maybe Peter Parker was just aggressive.
Yeah, maybe like let that's him be himself.
Yeah, yeah, that's his problem.
Yeah, made him more of himself. Issue number 3, cover, Chef's Kiss.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Oh, poster worthy. Venom, Lethal Protector, issue number 3. Brains are back on the menu as Venom returns to his violent and spectacular roots in this bone-chilling and bone-crunching issue. These solicitations make this seem like this is a horror story. Very campy, silly, and fun. That's what they should have said.
Yeah, very campy. Especially this issue.
I like how they're like, we were gonna buy this. Before I ask you what you thought, they're like, we were gonna get Claw to come in here and do the demonstration, but he is in jail, so we made Mechaniclaw.
Yeah,
what? There's nothing bone chilling about that. This is corny, man.
This, to me, I know you're getting to asking me what I think, but this,
yeah, what'd you think?
Is the most out of, like, I don't know. It's the weirdest issue in this run. It is so random. Like, they present this solution to his Sonic vulnerability, but then they're like, never mind, take it away.
It doesn't really work.
Yeah, it doesn't work like well.
It doesn't work.
It programs your suit to do weird shit, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, this seems like a filler issue, but like in an okay way. It just like sets up a few stories and it wraps up a thing. It also gives a Spider-Man for no reason. Spider-Man's like, oh, there's some sort of commotion back there, but my spider sense isn't tingling, so bye. It's like, yeah. Why even add Spider-Man in this?
Well, you wanted him as a background character. You said it yourself.
Yeah. Don't talk, though. Swinging. When he was swinging, and Eddie was like, there's Spider-Man. Yeah. That was perfect. We also get the S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. I will say, and this is not a spoiler, but I'm giving this a little preemptively, I was disappointed with this guy's ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
because like he seems like this thread of a character. He's in it, you know.
Well, this is a different guy.
This guy?
This isn't the S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. This is a whole different guy. That's why I said
No, not before that. The S.H.I.E.L.D. guy's here looking up. There's three panels of him. He's looking up like, Oh my God, they killed my friends. Like, what should I do? I can't survive on my own. I'm going to survive and join this army. At least I'll stay alive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He has an ongoing thread through each issue. And then his ending is just like, what?
Just a panel.
It was just funny, but it was also like, that was anticlimactic, man.
Well, with that, I was actually kind of confused. And then in the next issue, because I read it in the first one, and then you said it, that he was trained by Taskmaster. And then we get back, and he's just, like, with Taskmaster again. It's like, what? I thought you were already part of his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so like you said, we do get him, his suit acting wonky, then he goes back, and they fix it, I guess. It is a lot of random stuff. But then we get this character, Chance, which is cool because... The only reason it's cool is because that character was in the first appearance of Venom back in the day. Spider-Man 299, Spider-Man 300. That he was fighting Spider-Man in it, and that was like the first Venom hunting Spider-Man, or Eddie Brock Venom hunting Spider-Man. So that was a cool callback. And I liked his like shtick of like, I'm so good that I don't take any payments. I bet on like I can make it happen. I think that's funny because he looks stupid.
Yeah. He's got like the pencil thin mustache.
I'm like a bug eyes. Was great. What else? What didn't you like about this? It was random, like you said.
That's about the only thing I didn't like is just how out of left field everything was.
Yeah, I think the subplot of like him with the Life Foundation, I don't know how that even pays off.
And I feel like a lot of those things, much like that's where it fails, much like the Ben Reilly thing. If you don't have an extensive knowledge of this, then and how that plays out, then I don't really think it means anything.
Yeah. And in this, they do reference it. Like, you know, they have like a side reference where it's like Spider-Man 315 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. But you can actually go back and like look and connect those dots. That's cool.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. But I do appreciate that extra effort of like, you obviously don't know what's going on, but this is what it's referenced to. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we got. You're going to take it away with issue number 4.
Is this, sorry, before we take off, is this the issue or did we skip it with the last one where this is the one where he finds his ex-wife's fiance like doing some weird shady shit, which is like
yeah.
another random thing. It's like he's looking him up online and he's like this philanthropist and everything. He's like, come on, man, it's not even fair. And then he sees that he's like a drug dealer randomly or helping.
He's giving information of like easy targets.
Yeah.
Because he's a psychiatrist. So easy targets for the drug dealers to hit. And he's like, yo, if you'll get this guy, you'll be set for life because you'll never, you know, he'll always buy from you. And then Eddie Brock like webs his head up, which I always would imagine is like a crazy thing to get your head just randomly completely webbed up. Yeah, and he's logical. And I think it's logical, like you said, I didn't even think about it, is the suit is like hindering him. Like Eddie Brock would beat the shit out of that guy or whatever, but the suit is like, hey, if you kill him, it hurts her. And he even says her. He didn't call her Annie or whatever. He's like, it hurts her. It doesn't work. Which I think is a great, I never really thought about the parallel of like Peter Parker getting rid of the suit because it made him aggressive. The suit learning from Pete, going to hyper aggressive Eddie Brock and being like, okay, whoa, man. Like, bring it back a little. Where's the balance at? You
know what I mean? Yeah.
And so the suit's like, yo, don't. No, you can't kill him. What's that going to do? That's just going to, she's going to hate you. And then so he threatens him and he has to leave. But, and at the same time, he is a bad guy. That guy's a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's like, again, Eddie Brock is just this like accidental hero.
Yeah, it just trips into it.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it so much.
All right. Venom Lethal Protector number 4. Eddie Brock has been through absolute hell. Love of his life has found another man. A dangerous cadre of criminals are after a bounty on Venom's head. And worst of all, his only ally, the Venom symbiote, is in critical condition. Its anatomy pushed to the absolute limit. And somehow things are about to get much, much worse. Like, am I reading this book? Is this what this is?
I know. These synopses are way off. Least favorite cover.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
Not that it's terrible, but just my least favorite cover. I love how confident Venom Eddie Brock is. I do. I like that both of them separately are weak. You know, Venom's symbiotic thing is he's symbiotic. He needs a host. So he's weak without one. Eddie Brock, we saw, is sort of reclusive after being so codependent on it. But them together, they're doing this like interview show. It was like, you can, you know, please call us Venom. Don't call me Mr. Brock. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. There's actually, so I didn't notice this at first. So he talks about, he's like, this is the smart Venom when they're kind of cohesively
working together.
And I just noticed that his eyes went to the back of his head in one panel.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, listen, that's weird that you didn't want to have me come. Because, for context, he's talking to a news anchor. But they don't have him at the studio. They have him in like a bunker or like a storage unit, right? And he's like, it's weird that you didn't have me there, but whatever. And he basically talks about like, there's a bounty. And I want to get it all out there. I'm tired of being randomly attacked on the, like, that's stupid, but it's smart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm tired of getting like randomly attacked on the street. I've heard there was a bounty on my head. I'm going to be here. So if you want to get the bounty, come fight me. That's like cocky Goku Vegeta thing. Like, I will fight anybody. Just please stop just randomly attacking me, man. And they're like, well, don't you think you'll be like an easy target? He's like, I do not care about that. Like, just come and fight me. I'm good. Don't care who it is. Just bring it on. And she's basically says like, they're not going to play by your rules. And it's like, no one's going to play by my rules. Just like this. I came here to talk about this, but obviously it's a trap. And his eyes go to the back of his head. I thought that was genius, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dips.
Yeah, I didn't realize this other panel either, that he had that. He used his tendrils to make that cop like put the barrel of his gun under his chin.
Yeah, that's tight. Yeah, very cool. Like, I wish I would have saw something like this in the movie. So he doesn't have camouflage. Because there were a few times where I was like, he's camouflage. He doesn't have camouflage like Miles can camouflage.
Oh, he's like a chameleon.
He just changed his suit to match the color of whatever he was on. they hit him with the tasers and like, oh, we got him now. And the suit melts away. I thought this was freaking genius. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, the suit's gone. We got him. And he's like, no, it's not gone. I got you. And then the suit attacks everybody at once.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Before, I haven't even asked you what you thought about this yet, but I want to say that these next couple pages, I was like, what is going on?
With the robber?
Sticks and stones.
Oh, that one's weird too. Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, because we see Eddie Brock leave this shelter, right? And then we go to this condo, and what I assume is Eddie Brock talking to a butler, because this guy looks like Eddie Brock.
I thought it was at first, too. I also thought it was the S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. They're all big blonde dudes.
Well, and it's, this guy had, like, the Eddie Brock flat top, so I'm like...
Looks like Guile.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, why is Eddie Brock talking to this weird butler, dude? The context is so confusing. And then I realized... Then I, really deep lore nerddom. I was like, oh, this is Sticks and Stones. Stupid, stupid 90s Spider-Man characters.
Well, and it what's funny about it is Sticks is like, tell them to bring some kittens up here for me to kill. And it's like, dude, this is 90s cringe. Like, this is...
Yeah. Hmm. We also see a guy die in this issue, which was like... I feel like they just needed a quote of, like, somebody needs to die in these Venom issues, because... It's, what did you think about issue number 4, man?
They had to kill off the black dude, too.
They did, man.
I like this one better than the last one. As far as like making sense, Sticks and Stones are ridiculous, man.
Stupid. Great names. I mean, as far as like you and I like silly characters, so that's a great stupid name.
Well, and he's got, you know, you got the guy with the big guns. It makes a lot of sense. I do like that he tries. The guy's got like rotting powers or something.
Yeah.
Like Carry On almost. And then he's like, he puts his own hand on his face.
Eddie Brock. Yeah, so anything he touches dies. And he tries to touch Eddie Brock. But, like, it's so stupid because Venom just grabs him by the wrist. And he's like, well, they can't touch me. And then he puts his on his own face. And he's like, dude, I would have did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
That would have worked.
I do find it funny. It's the same reason why I think we talked about this in Black Adam, why maces are a stupid weapon for superheroes, because they always grab the handle.
Yeah.
You're going to grab his wrist. If you have to touch someone with your fingertips, grab the wrist.
I do like Stone, though. His suit is like something that I would want in like a silly character, because he has like, it's big and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, it's like a what I would imagine a character that we created would have something like this. Be, you know, we created a character. His name was Warbucks. This is what I would imagine his suit would be like. Dumb. He's like, I'm gonna hit him with this adhesive, sticks him, and then he's like, I'm gonna shoot him with these gas pods. It's just like dumb things that you have on this giant suit.
Yeah, he has to breathe, right? And then. They didn't do their research. I do also like that he tries to use like a drill and it just gets gummed up.
Yeah. Eddie Brock's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't think you know how this works.
And then, I'm going to say the same thing. And then he uses to get Sticks to talk. He's like, I'm going to make you touch your friend and kill your friend.
And he almost, what I like though is that he's like, oh man, I've always dreamed about it. And then he's like, damn, you're right. He is my friend. But then we get like a camouflage villain or Venom. So I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just working like active camo to where the front side of him is mirroring what's behind him, maybe.
Yeah.
Not necessarily invisible, but.
Then we learn the bad guy's Justin Hammer.
Yeah, man. That to me, this goes in a lot of different directions, man.
90s random, dog.
It is something.
90s random.
Well, it's written by the co-creator, right? So, guess it makes sense.
Who played Justin Hammer?
In the movie? Oh, I always forget his name.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, he's great. I love Sam Rockwell.
That would be cool. If this was like a Venom movie, that would be cool. That'd be cool if it was like MCU. and Sam Rockwell was the bad guy in this random Venom movie. Damn, mm-hmm. That'd be tight.
But he's not as scary as this.
No, he's kind of like the Riddler in this. Fucking weirdo. Yeah, that's it. What didn't you like about this issue, man?
It really, it's just more of the randomness that I didn't like. Just trying to figure out where the hell the story's going.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm ashamed to admit it, but that Sticks and Stones first couple panels gummed me up for a second. Because like, I thought it was Eddie Brock, and I was like scrolling back to like, what did I miss? Because, and it seems like the Life Foundation stuff is just gone at this point, not even acknowledged, right?
Yeah, not really.
And so I'm like, whenever the chick from the Life Foundation was talking to him, they were talking about like condos and his job was going to be like protecting penthouses or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, how did we fast forward to he's living in a penthouse now? I was just like, what is going on?
Well, and is that no, hold on.
It gummed me up. I was like half reading it because I have ADD.
He killed her.
Did he kill her?
Yeah, he killed her.
I thought he was going to.
Nah, man. Because they say in the next thing, talk about the security guards. He's like narrating or talking to himself. And he talks about the security guards going. And yeah. And when I'm retiring and when I'm thrown up immediately. And like, yeah, he kills that chick.
Wow.
And he makes me think that he did something worse. Good old Eddie Brock did something way worse if he's making people throw up.
Well, he did like, he had his like tendrils in her like nose and ears at first.
Yeah, he blocks up her nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he.
Damn, Eddie Brock.
And then he crushes that one dude's head in the
guy that killed the black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crunched him. That was cool.
Crunch.
Black Axis.
Can't imagine, man. Having your head crushed.
Yeah. There's that split second where you're still alive, where it's just like the most pain you will ever feel, obviously, in your life.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you might have gone into shock before it actually snaps. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know anything about the human body. Venom, Lethal Protector, issue number 5. Eddie Brock has been pushed to his limit. The love of his life has found happiness with another, and he has fought supervillain after supervillain across New York City as every superpowered criminal in the town attempts to take the sinister symbiote's head. Now, Venom faces down a gauntlet of foes, including Taskmaster. Not really. Intent on putting down the wicked web slinger for good. I love that he called him a web slinger, even though like his webs are just extensions of his symbiote.
Well, I mean, this is still when he has webbing.
Yeah. But I mean, in theory, they're just extensions of his symbiote.
Yeah, unless he's making it somehow.
Ugh, gross. Secretions. Uh-huh. But Venom has one chance to win, and it will take everything he and the symbiont has to just survive. Again, a little melodramatic on the synopsis, because it seems like he effortlessly goes through this issue.
Yeah.
Not saying this is a bad issue. I'm just saying that's an oversell.
I think the way he's drawn in this issue is my least favorite. He looks like a pit bull, like his mouth. I don't know.
Yeah, he has jowls.
His weird really, cheeks.
They really drew those cheeks on there for some reason.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. Like Taskmaster comes in. We've got Leapfrog. Hello.
Yeah, that was great. Also, like seeing Spy anytime Master? I see. Anytime I see Venom with weapons, I'm like, that's funny, because he doesn't need weapons.
Yeah.
And so he like launches his rocket launcher, and he even references, he's like, I don't really have the chance to, or they didn't have the chance to use weapons, but I do. And so he just like launches this rocket launcher, and he's like, never had much use for guns, but that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get Constrictor, Blizzard, and old, the only thing I know about Blizzard is that he was the villain in the old Iron Man cartoon. He was one of the old villains from that. And same with Spymaster. Porcupine, he was recently in She-Hulk. Leapfrog.
Leapfrog, the Beetle. I don't know Beetle. What version of that Beetle it is.
That Beetle sucks with the gross Mr. Fantastic fingers.
Yeah, weird.
I really don't like the time jump in this. I don't think it's necessary because it's all like at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all within 30 minutes of itself.
Oh, yeah. Why did it like intro and then go back?
Yeah. So it's like 30 minutes ago, and then this happens. 30 minutes ago, now. And it's just like, why not just tell the story?
Yeah, it is weird. I don't know. But then we get that part, that very unsatisfactory death.
Dude, so weak, man, because he's even in it. You see him when they first show, I love the name. Taskmaster calls the name of the team. He's like, Hammers. It's so stupid. So stupid, but it's such a great name.
Yeah.
Dustin Hammer just has this a team of assassins, army of like B, D, C level characters. This guy, his name is Stiletto, where he just throws these tiny daggers.
High heels.
That is so great. And this is not what you were talking about, but like Stiletto and Porcupine are just blasting him with these tiny shards. And he just absorbs it and then shoots it directly back at them. Like, what research did they do on the character that they were fighting?
Yeah, just hoping.
Because they're dead. But in that, you get whatever his name is. The Shield or whatever that guy's name is. Death Shield or something. Something stupid. He's like, oh man, I joined this team to get away from Venom. They're like on an island. And he's like, and now he's here. Maybe I will survive if I just stay in the back. But then, sure enough, a few panels later, a character named Discus loses one of his discs, and it just chops his head off.
Yeah, just.
And we don't get anything other than, which in real life that's how it would be. Like, he would get his head chopped off, and no one would acknowledge him. But that's just what happens. He gets his head cut off, and that's it.
Well, and you don't even see like his head on the ground or anything. You just see the line like in the panel of like, yeah, the discus going through his head or going through his neck. And that's it.
Yeah. I love how Taskmaster, in the synopsis, it talks about how Venom faces this gauntlet of characters, including Taskmaster. But Taskmaster is so smart that he's like, nah, this ain't working. And then he just leaves. He's like, yeah, you're going to have to take me off of this island. And he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then Venom beats the shit out of everybody else.
Yeah.
What do you think about this finale?
Well, it's kind of funny. Because just like, whatever. It just ends, man. He goes in, confronts Justin Hammer. He's like, take the bounty off my head or I'm going to kill you. Or I'm going to kill you anyway, but take the bounty off my head. He's like, oh, no, well. It was already taken.
As soon as you stepped on the island, the bounty was gone.
Yeah, there was a bounty here. Somebody put a bounty on you, and I was just going to like outsource the funds, essentially.
Yeah, he's like, someone was going to give me $20 million and a story, and even references like Amazing Spider-Man, whatever. It references that story. And he's like, this guy was going to pay me $20 million to kill you. I was going to give somebody 10% to do it because it's beneath me to kill somebody, which is funny. But he essentially has him trapped behind this dome of fire.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny. We know that. So one thing what I thought was funny is I thought he was always, I guess it's just Sonic. I wouldn't bring this up that earlier, but I always thought Venom was vulnerable to electricity too. But I guess not. But at any rate, I do think it's funny how they kind of pick and choose because he's in this fire and it should be like baking his ass, but he's like,
well, it should have melted it off. It's like, you know, when he got hit with the sonic waves, it should have like melted the suit off.
Right. And I always imagine, I think it's kind of neat if it just kind of takes it off of that area. Like when he got sonic'd in the hands and his hands were exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's just like, we're resilient because we're together. Yeah. Just picks and chooses when it's
90s.
Yeah, when he's vulnerable to it. I still have that 9-card poster thing with all of Venom's like powers and weaknesses.
I'm probably gonna steal that from you.
I'll give it to you for your birthday.
He escapes. Of course. He's wearing fucking board shorts. Like, I haven't seen board shorts in probably 10 years. Like this.
Yeah. These are... I remember the first time I heard of board shorts and I was like, oh, good. That really solves my problems, man.
And like you talked about earlier, I didn't realize Eddie Brock is a huge dude. Like, Venom is leaving his body, but it doesn't look like he changes size at all.
Right, yeah. That's my favorite part. That's what I didn't like about the new movies. Like, he gains an extra foot.
Yeah.
Or something. How's that work? How's that work proportionally? You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
It's like Kingpin. It's like Kingpin across the, or into the Spider-Verse. The skeleton is like tiny. Oh, and the rest of it's like.
Well, I've always thought about that with like exoskeletons. Like, they'll do exoskeletons where they actually have the arms in the arms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. That would
You and I are haunted late at night with the same thoughts.
Well, the thing is, like, that would mean the lower leg would be extra long to compensate where your knee would actually be.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why, and even I think that even to get more into that, like, how the mechanics of like how Gundams work, I think it would be like crazy complicated to like pilot a Gundam old school. Like,
yeah, I never understood. Sometimes
they pilot them like airplane, but it's so intricate with like fingers and knees and ankles. And that's why G Gundam is my favorite, because it's legitimately just like how I move the suit moves.
It makes the most sense. Yes.
But the rest of it is like,
yeah. Well, Big O's like that too, where he's got like pedals to make him walk, but he can make him kick, you know.
But even that makes more sense than like straight up Gundam. And this, I'm going to edit all this out because it's nothing to do. But even that makes more sense than like Gundam Wing. They just have like two joysticks.
They have joysticks, but they have triggers for the fingers.
You have to be a genius to be.
But even that, I mean, it doesn't account for the fine movement. So like.
Yeah, because they were like doing freaking somersaults with lightsabers and having intricate like lightsaber battle.
That's what I'm saying. Like in the original Gundam or whatever, sure, you could have triggers for each of the fingers, but that's just going to go like this. Like you can't make him do things.
And what are your feet though? The feet are like the legs and the feet are what I'm more worried about. And like, yeah, it's the fingers, but like the arms.
Right. Like, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Big O cracked me up because it's just like this joystick on the lever, so when he punched he would pull it on the rail around him, he would still have the fingers, and then he would do that, but that would just be like womp. That's all he would be doing.
So it should be like he moves it up, and then it should be more rounded rather than like it still makes more sense than regular gun.
They're all stupid when it comes to
G Gundam happens,
like you said, best. I think that makes the most sense.
You had a suit, you were in like a virtual reality space that mimicked the environment around you, and the suit moved how your body moved.
Yeah.
That was the perfect. That's why I like that show so much, because it made the most sense to me.
Yeah, it's real racist too.
Yeah, it is. All right, they finally say it at the end. 90s, catchphrase. We are Venom. We got it. We're together now.
As he's swimming in his board shorts out to that like cruise.
Yeah, he's like, I can jump on this fucking boat, because why not? No one's going to card me. I'm sure I could fall asleep somewhere.
He's in San Francisco, right? And he's back in New York for this. But isn't he normally in San Francisco?
Lethal Protector days, he moves out to San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Why San Francisco? Why not LA?
It's weird because even like they always do that. When Daredevil moves out. West Coast Avengers in San Francisco. When Daredevil moves out to California to get away from Hell's Kitchen and all that, he moves to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, is West Coast in San Francisco, or is it just outside? Are they in San Diego?
Maybe they're just all over the giant mountains in California. That's it. I agree with you though at the beginning. I think this would have been a better movie than the first Venom movie.
It definitely would have. The tone of the movie would have fit this story.
Because like all of these characters and all these villains, besides Hydra Man, is probably the most prolific villain in this story.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't use Justin Hammer, obviously, because he was in Iron
Taskmaster.
Man.
Yeah.
Taskmaster. But, like, you didn't Taskmaster didn't do anything.
In this, yeah.
You could have easily just said they got trained by someone, by a guy that trains supervillains. It would have been a better Venom movie. And
it just would have been interesting. Coming home, like, there should have been. Actually, wait, did that happen in the second? The second Venom movie could have been. It would have been kind of a funny thing. Venom Homecoming, where he goes back to New York. Yeah. What the hell, Sony? Why didn't you do it?
Why don't you hire us, man? Let's take over.
Yeah.
Let Simon and Lex do the next Spider-Man trilogy and then finish off the Venom trilogy. You won't be disappointed. We'll be the new Russo brothers.
Yeah.
That'd be nuts. No, I'd probably Jason David Frank myself.
Damn, dude. Oh, God.
Definitely cut that. All right, Zom, what'd you think overall? Venom, Lethal Protector, 2022. I'm actually glad I read this. What'd you think, though?
Not grading it yet.
Initial thoughts.
Yeah, I mean...
overall thoughts.
It's all over the place, but I do enjoy, again, low stakes. So I don't feel like... Sure, some prior knowledge would have been like the winks and the nods, you know? Of these characters, be like, oh, you notice that? Like you said, oh, this guy fought Spider-Man when Venom was introduced. And there's probably something with Justin Hammer that's going on at the same time and this and that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All that's cool. But the story is fine because it's just Eddie Brock and Venom getting to know each other, essentially. But this is
and you personally have enough knowledge of, like, Lethal Protector days to kind of, like, fit this into that universe.
Right, and this is before Venom's even doing that much talking. Like, I don't think Eddie Brock realizes that Venom is doing talking when he becomes a little bit brighter. So,
yeah, I didn't notice it until, and it's even more so when you said it, but, like, I didn't notice it until he was fighting Hydra Man, and I know it's the second issue, but, like, Eddie Brock is dumb. Oh, there's a lot of water around, and then he fights Hydra Man. He leaps through Hydra Man. Which is dumb.
Yeah, he tries to punch water. Yeah.
What did you think is going to happen? And even Hydra Man's like, yeah, kind of hard to punch water. And then he punches him, which it makes sense. Like, water is, you could, you know, it's like, it would hurt to get punched by a fist of water.
Yeah, water's like water, bro.
And then it clicks. And like you said, it's sort of like the symbiote, like, hey, man, that's kind of stupid, but let's. And it, like, kind of nudges him in the right direction.
Yeah.
Which even adds to, like, Eddie's codependency whenever he loses the symbiote for a little bit. He's like, oh, damn. I'm kind of dumb. He kicks through this window. He kicks through this window and he's like, oh, shit. My foot's bleeding. I cut my foot.
Yeah.
I don't notice things like that because you usually just fix it for me. And it's just like, that's really great. It's low stakes. I like it. I think it did a better job at capturing that 90s. Essence than Ben Reilly Spider-Man did.
Yeah, I agree. And the Ben Reilly Spider-Man was just kind of like, I don't know, there's a lot going on and it was trying to be an edgelord thing. This Venom is like, he's crazy and he's killing people, and but he's also really simple and
when he crunches people's heads and stuff, it's not like a crazy dramatic thing where he's like murdering someone. It's just like, punch, and then he goes off.
It's like a Mice and Men, man. He doesn't know that he's doing
it. And it's almost just like off panel every time he kills someone, besides the first dude that he slams the car into.
Yeah.
I like it. What'd you think about art overall?
I enjoyed it overall. That particular style isn't like my favorite, but.
Yeah.
No fault of the artist. Like, he did an amazing job. I assume he did an amazing job. Coloring's good. The anatomy's great. Like, it's great. But I it's just very digital. And I know very it's all digital. That way, but
very good digital, you know, because we've seen some bad digital stuff. I agree. Simple. Not too complex. I liked it a lot. When it got to weird cheap Venom. I was like, I don't like that as much. But other than that, I thought Venom was probably my favorite, up there with like my favorite depictions of Venom. You know, Mark Bagley. I get, you know, when it gets a little too gross, it's not really my thing. I do like Ultimate Venom, but again, Mark Bagley did that. So,
yeah,
you know, that's the most monstrous I like Venom to be. But Mark Bagley was doing Ultimate Spider-Man at that point. I like the art overall. Altogether, I agree with you, though, by coloring and line art and everything like that, it screams all digital, which is not a complaint. That's kind of what I'm teaching myself to do right now, is do all digital, so I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I liked it, though. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was a fun book. For sure.
Yeah.
I do wonder what the book would have looked like if the internals were all the same artist as the covers.
Yeah.
I wonder if the tone would be different, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyway.
Guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
Let's grade this thing, man.
All right. Oh, handy dandy grading chart.
How'd you get the grading chart to Carlos last week?
I had it on my desktop randomly, so I just like put it in the chat and sent it to him.
Nice. Did he do okay? I haven't listened to it because I'm still reading. I'm like two issues into that series.
Well, it's kind of funny because it's like, I know he listens to the show, but it was like he forgot. He forgot how to.
I mean, it's a lot. When you see the.
Well, I think it's more like interpreting what the hell it is. And I said, oh, it's nothing, man.
It does not. Yeah, that's the thing. You can't. It means nothing. You can't make it make sense.
Yeah. So it is. It's like, hey, maybe like astrology. Someone that's never heard of it before. Like,
Exactly. Pretty much, we're just asking you what you think, and then like,
your moon sign is an Aries. Well, what the
fuck? Well, the thing is, like, we're asking you what you think, and then. What toast best represents?
Yeah. How could you encompass that in a piece of bread?
Exactly. So we're theologists over here at the Wednesday Pool List. I'll let you go first, Tom. I think I've got mine.
I'm going to go. I may have given last week this too. It's not a perfect book by any means.
You want me to go first?
No, I'll go first. I'm going to give an F1. It's a race car.
Ooh, I thought we were going to say the same thing.
Well, I'm looking for something. Like I said, it's not a perfect story to me. It's simple, low stakes. I could have not read that. You know what I mean? I did enjoy it, but it didn't.
I like how our logic a lot of times will match up, but then our toast doesn't match up. I like that because I agree with you. My score is going to be F5. Fine.
Oh, on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It works. I legitimately have very little complaints.
Yeah, no complaints.
But if I pulled that out of the toaster, I could not eat that.
You couldn't eat that?
I will eat that with no problem. Oh, it's great. But also, like, if I had a perfect piece of toast.
Yeah.
If I had a perfect piece of toast in that, I'd be like, I'm going to grab that.
Yeah. I'm going to get the kids. I could not
eat that.
Yeah. Kids get that one.
Exactly. I cannot eat that and be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing about this story. It's like it's a fun romp in the past, but nothing the past is the past, you know?
Exactly. Nothing wrong with it, but also nothing
extraordinary.
Yeah, that makes me be like, this is how Venom should be now.
Yeah.
So that's it. Nothing wrong. I think Venom looks great in it. I completely enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, sidebar, I think that this is fun in the same way that, you know, on Twitter we were talking about the World's Strongest and the other Dragon Ball Z movie that were like offshoots. They were fun, they were simple. This was back when Goku could still get his ass whooped. Like,
that was a good conversation, yeah.
Because I miss those Dragon Ball Z. Like, I miss the Saiyan saga and even parts of the Cell or Frieza saga.
Not Cell too much.
Yeah. Well, I like the beginning. But anyway.
I like all of Cell Saga, but for what you're saying.
Yeah, like fresh out of Dragon Ball in our minds. I'm sure there were several years in between them. But yeah, fresh out of Dragon Ball where everything is just goofy. you know, yeah. Still kind of low stakes. And then all your characters get killed off.
Yep.
But I miss when Goku, like, at the end of the Saiyan saga, he's, like, paralyzed.
Yeah, well, he's just a dude that fights as hard as he can. He gets the shit kicked out of him. And that's really it. There's no, like, next level. There's, like, he wins, like, it's a stalemate, essentially. He's paralyzed, but he wins the fight.
Yeah, he's in, like, a full body cast. So anyway, it's like that, like good old days, fun comic book reading before it became like the movies where everything that comes out is a new event and it's going to shake up. Event fatigue
is a big deal in current comic books. It's like a big event, and I don't even mind big events, but I think a friend of mine online, John's Comics with Kids, and I were just talking, and he said, it seems like events don't end. It's like events lead into the next event. So it's like you'll have Civil War, but they're going to be threads. It's like it's an ending, but it's going to be like, oh, we're leading into this. It's the next big event. And it's just like only events.
Yeah.
And this is a different time where it's just like, yeah, we're just telling a story. It doesn't even mean anything.
We're just trying to get this
rolling. It's just a dude. Yeah, it's just a dude living in New York. There's no big event.
We're trying not to get bankrupt.
Yeah, Spider-Man is doing something else. We saw him. We put him in there. We got our Spider-Man quota that Stanley wants us to have in there. Excelsior! Gotta have Spider-Man in there.
Put Spider-Man in there. I want to see a spider penis.
That's all we got, guys. We're circling the drain. Simon, where can the people find you? Are you on Hive?
What? No,
I don't have social. You don't have Hive social.
No.
Oh, so you didn't go to the great Twitter collapse.
I wasn't there. I saw the day.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in the after show. Where can the people find you right now?
Well, Instagram, Sim_on_toast, Simon Toy Portraits. I have a tax license now, so if you want to buy something,
you gotta buy something.
You can buy something. I'll actually put the shop back up because I was kind of doing that like not kosher, so that's not
breaking
like
the law.
I didn't sell anything anyway, so
breaking the law, breaking the law.
But other than that, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm on Twitter, not very popular on there, but I am on there.
Here's a weird thing, we're gonna talk about that. I'm
300 followers.
I say after show, but I have one more beer, so I think I'm gonna keep Simon on for that beer, and we'll have a little after show thing. Maybe we'll do an uncut episode. Maybe I'll start putting uncut episodes back on Patreon.
Okay.
Until we bring back the thick cut in 2023. Wednesday pull everywhere else. Please check us out. There's a Screen Rant article that came out with the top 10 comic book podcasts. I love those people that were on there. No bad things to say against them. They all deserve to be on there. But if there was 11, I would imagine that it would be us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about more of that on the after show. If you want to check that conversation out, subscribe to us on Patreon, and that's where that will be. So other than that, we're circling the drain, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.